Commissioner Fish, would you open us with our prayer?
Okay.
As soon as he gets on. Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2020, and we are here in Titus County courtroom to meet with Commissioners Court. And it is 11:30. This is a special meeting today, and we will begin, as we always do, with a prayer and a pledge of allegiance. If you'll stand with me.
Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for all your blessings. I pray that you protect each and every one of us, Lord, in our whole county, Lord, in our state, in our country, from this virus, Lord. And be with us as we make decisions on how to deal with it, how to prepare for it, how to be ready, and how it's going to affect all of us, Lord. Just guide each and every one of us today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we just have a couple of items on the agenda today. Primarily, we are here today to disseminate the information about an order that was signed by me yesterday that went into effect at 12:01 a.m. this morning on April 2nd, 2020. And we'll talk about some more of the particulars of that order. That complete order is available through our centralized information source, and we are piggybacking with the City of Mount Pleasant. And because of their availability of quick up-to-the-minute website changes that has a wide variety of information, we'll direct any of our inquiries and our traffic to mpcity.net for a complete copy of the signed order, as well as a summary of the main attributes of that. But what I'm here today is to ask that the commissioners would ratify this order and extend it beyond the typical 7 days through the end of the month or through April 30th. And so it clearly states in that order, let me read this here. Now therefore be it proclaimed by the County Judge of Titus County, Texas, that the declaration of a local state of disaster due to public health emergency filed on March 19th, 2020 is amended as follows. And you can refer to all the details of that, but Section 1 says that the findings and recitations set out in that March 19th declaration are found to be true and correct and are hereby adopted. All regulations and orders included in the March 19th declaration, unless superseded, remain in effect until rescinded in writing. We talk about the governor's order, and then we talk about a variety of other specific points that you should be familiar with. But the final item here is Section 10. After we have ratified previously that document from March 9th, and we extended that on through tomorrow, April 3rd. So we are in effect taking that document, we're expounding upon it, and we're extending it. So Section 10 says that this declaration will take effect April 2nd, 2020 at 12:01, and after its issuance, and after and upon approval by Commissioner's Court, shall continue in effect through April 30th, 2020. Subject to extension by the Titus County Judge. Pursuant to this declaration, additional directives may be issued by the County Judge. So I am asking you to approve, adopt, and extend this order from yesterday through April 30, 2020.
Make a motion, we adopt it.
Okay, motion is made by Commissioner Fitch.
Second.
And second by Commissioner Parker. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The second item is just an opportunity for general discussion time about operations here within the county. Just to give you all an update, I have spoken with or received email responses from all department heads and elected officials regarding continuance of business operations here within the county. And as many of you know, we've made some modifications to the way that things are done throughout the county, and I've left that up to the individual department heads. But every department is open for business in one form or fashion. They may not have the doors open to the general public, but they are providing guidance through postings on their doors. They are staffed, they are answering the phone, they are answering emails, and they are taking care of department business. Some of these departments are handling customer inquiries with appointments. Some may be taken care of by phone, some may be taken care of by email. No departments are absolutely closed with the lights off, with nobody answering the phone. Everyone is being responsive to that. And again, I believe that each and every department has made modifications that are appropriate, even in light of this new order here, to protect their employees and to protect the general public from one another. And this order does definitely expand upon the requirements that the county is making. Specifically, we're really pushing the social distancing aspect of any county operations, as well as operations throughout the city and throughout the county. The city may be adopting orders, I don't know. They may feel like they're adequately taken care of by the county orders, which do in fact address anyone within the county that includes the city as well. So again, be familiar with what that document says. Let me hit some of these high points for us while we're all here, and we can kind of talk, see if there's any questions from you. But before I do that, do any of you have any questions or comments about the handling of any of the departments throughout the county, specifically any of your operations?
Is there any way that's in, to maintain that cost but not have everybody coming back, do like the station guard once a week or whatever, and have somebody here instead of having everybody there?
There is complete flexibility within each of those departments, and I have had specifically that conversation with Judy Cook this morning, and she is considering some staggered staffing over there, and at some point we'll need to address compensation options, and we'll get some guidance in our next meeting for that. Most of our county operations have adequate. The situation lends itself well to social distancing. In Judy Cook's office, where she's got 9 employees and it does get a little bit crowded, she is wanting to make some adjustments there and knows that she can do that. I'm hoping that within each of your departments, you're able to meet those social distancing criteria. And to the best of my knowledge, those are also being appropriately handled within all of our departments.
Brian, do we need to fill out the deal and give to our employees that they are going to work and all that? That was one question that my guys had this morning.
You don't need, because they fall under employment of the county. I think that it would not hurt for each of our locations to have a business plan. I will develop one here that's posted on the courthouse door. The main thing that I want you to do with that plan, they don't need permission or anything in writing to go to and from work. If they're doing county business while they're on the clock, then they don't need any specific letter or permission slip. They just need to be informed by you what the expectations of the county ordinance or of the county proclamation are, and that is that they will adhere to social distancing measures, no gatherings of more than 10 people, maintaining that 6 feet of distance at all times, regularly washing their hands for 20 seconds, frequently throughout the day. Coughs and sneezes are appropriately covered in the sleeve and elbow. Any regularly touched high-touch surfaces that they're involved with on the job are cleaned and sanitized throughout the day, and nobody is shaking hands. And so if we can meet those requirements, then we can continue our operations. If we can't, then we don't need to be engaging in business. But nobody needs special permission to go to and from work. It says travel is prohibited throughout the county. All travel is prohibited except for to and from work and work-related. And so that doesn't require a special document. Okay, if you don't have any specific questions about county operations, which was what our agenda item stated, then we'll take no action on that unless there is any further discussion or a desire to take action there. We'll talk just generally about this order, and I just got off the phone with one of our local business people who felt very frustrated that the county's orders were in disagreement with the governor's orders, and I expressed to him that I did not see that. The main question is, he feels like the governor has stated that all non-essential businesses must close. My interpretation of it is that under certain circumstances, businesses may be open. They may not be open under the same normal operations that they're used to. There may be a business that's absolutely closed to the public, but they may have operations going on within their business, you know, bookwork, computer work, stocking, inventory, you know, the list goes on and on. The primary objective that we're trying to accomplish here is meeting those social distancing requirements. And so whether a business is essential or non-essential, my interpretation is a non-essential business may still be conducting business in some form or fashion, whether that's with the doors closed, whether it's business by appointment, whether they're open as normal, but they are monitoring all aspects of social distancing. I don't believe that that is in any way in opposition to the governor's orders. In fact, I believe that our requirement of each business posting a business plan stating how they will adhere to social distancing goes one step beyond what Governor Abbott stated. And this was the consensus of our leadership team that's on conference call each morning, and that we're limiting all travel only to and from work, only work-related travel, only for health and safety-related matters for themselves or a family member or for essential services. If someone is traveling to and from a business that is not considered an essential business, then their travel is in violation. And so consequently, that would mean if everybody was adhering to that, that non-essential businesses would not have traffic coming to and from their place of business. But again, that doesn't mean that they have to completely shut down and have no one on the job. This has resulted in hundreds of questions, as you can imagine. There's no clear-cut answer for every one of these. Many of these questions are unique situations. Some of them are from people that just honestly haven't read the order and don't understand it. But an individual or a contractor may continue business if and only if they have that written plan in effect, and it's either posted at their place of business or it's maintained on the person or in the vehicle of those who are working remotely. But if they cannot meet the social distancing requirements, they don't need to be operating.
I had a call last night about the religious services. They said it kind of seemed to them like it was kind of contradictory to what it had been. That, you know, they were saying no religious services. Well, as long as you can maintain that distancing and everything, then to my knowledge, that's the whole plan. In the essential, all the essential services that you wrote that.
I'll read section 6. Religious services are allowed and highly encouraged, as long as services comply with the social distancing requirements outlined in section 4 above. And again, I refer to those as no social gatherings of more than 10 people, a 6-foot buffer, regular washing of hands, cleaning of high-touch surfaces, coughing in your sleeve. Now, does that mean that a church gathering within the building, you know, a 30-person congregation? I don't believe that that meets that requirement. However, we did go on to say this order does not prohibit alternative means of worship, such as drive-in services held in church parking lots where worshipers remain in the vehicles and social distancing requirements outlined are adhered to. We've got a lot of churches that are going to be interested in doing drive-in services, specifically on Easter. And while that's a social gathering of more than 10 people, under those circumstances, with people staying in the car, this order does allow such a service. There also may be other ways of conducting a worship service. Small groups may have to split the congregation up. They may have to function in different locations. They may have to do it by means of electronic broadcasting on Facebook or otherwise, which would might mean that the worship group is meeting there in a group of less than 10 and they're broadcasting that service. Everyone that I've had any communication with in the church world understands this, and it is a further restriction from what we had in place a week ago that did allow a congregation in a large auditorium to adequately spread people out. This no longer allows that. A group of 10 within that sanctuary would be the limit. They're going to have to find some other way to conduct that service. So I hope that that clarifies. I don't know, but it is a change from the prior week. I believe that that goes right along with what Governor Abbott said. It certainly intended to.
Well, at the time I got the call, I didn't know exactly how to word it.
Was this prior to the order or after the order came out?
Right after the order, okay. I think. Okay. But they still had a question about it.
Well, based on what I'm reading, do you feel like you could adequately answer that question now?
Yes.
Anyone else?
Well, again, please be familiar with this. Help us answer this in any way that we can. Anybody operating a business, conducting business, and not staying at home better have a plan in place. It needs to be visible, or it needs to be obtainable if they are asked by a peace officer to show them what that plan is. Again, this is the best thing we could come up with without issuing a stay-at-home order. All right. Well, thank you. Strange times indeed. I'm available cell phone, email, office phone, and I will remain as available as I possibly can be based on limitations that I've got as to how many people I can talk to in a day, and I'll give guidance wherever I can. But again, the main purpose of today was to discuss this new order, extend the order through the end of the month, and let you know what county operations status was. So if there is nothing else in the way of any conversation, I don't want to cut it short, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay,
motion for adjournment is made by Commissioner Parker.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Fitch. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We will have our next meeting not until the second Monday in April, so it may be a while. If we have a need for an emergency meeting in between now and then, we can certainly do that. But otherwise, I will just remind you can reach me anytime you need.